Cleveland's teams covered on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100.
The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. With us this morning, my goodness, what a couple of weeks we've had with Amazon Prime. You know, I know you're working on things all the time. I just want to mention back to school. I was at the Walmart last Saturday. Family in front of me, they were loading up. I mean, it's getting that time of the year. You got a budget for things like that. Are you going to be on the lookout for some savings for us?
No, not at all. In fact, that family in front of you is paying 30% more than they should be paying. The best time for back to school, I'm not even taking a look at one item right now.
Okay.
Bill, the amazing thing about back to school is the actual deals drop the second and the third week of August.
Really?
By Labor Day, if you can wait.
The closer.
They're all clear.
So the closer then. Okay. All right.
The closer then. Absolutely. The early bird rarely gets the bargain. And I'm happy that you brought that up because I'm going to give you and all of our wonderful listeners right now a very brief outlook of what I would not buy under any circumstance going into next week.
Okay.
These are all items that are going to be on clearance. And again, stay away from back to school until the second and third week of August.
Okay.
First thing I would not buy this weekend, don't buy anything that's a camera, smart camera, action camera. Those are not good purchases right now. Those will be dropping very early next week, if not Monday.
All right.
Anything to take care of your vehicle, your property, cleaning, power washers, those will drop early next week. Don't buy that this weekend. And some of the summer-related items, from hammocks to some of the portable AC units, misting fans, things like that, those will all be on clearance status by the end of next week. So I know it's tempting when we're out and about shopping this weekend, but
yeah,
I really wouldn't buy certain items because if you hold off, you can cut your cost by at least 40%.
Glad I asked. So Granite says just enjoy your weekend. He'll keep an eye on what you need and when the deals are, and we'll post them here each morning at this time on Boss with Matt Granite on Will's Ways to Save. You're such a nice guy.
No, you asked such a good question. And everyone listening, that was unrehearsed. I didn't know that was going to happen. So that was amazing.
You're the best. You're a pro's pro. You deserve a restful weekend. Enjoy back Monday morning. See you, pal.
I will. I love being here. Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Browns went through their first full practice of training camp yesterday. So how did it go, Hugh Jackson?
Good first day. Guys, they did some good things. How about it was the first day? We got a lot of work to do and keep moving forward and keep working hard. And we got to keep continuing to learn how to finish on both sides of the ball and keep making plays and finish in the fourth quarter. And like the last part of practice, I started over because I expect more from this group. And they get it. So we'll just keep pushing and get to where we need to be.
And they'll go at it again today. Also today, of note, they'll work out Pac-Man Jones, the veteran. Maybe his connection with you from Hugh's days in Cincinnati is a reason they're giving him a look. More on the Browns also in just a moment. One other football note, former Buckeye and Browns wide receiver Brian Hartline will be Ohio State's interim wide receivers coach, replacing Zach Smith, who was released over some domestic issues. Urban Meyer and the school parting ways with Smith at the beginning of this week. Indians are in Detroit, first of three with the Tigers tonight at 7:10. Carlos Carrasco will be on the mound for the Tribe. Indians end of the weekend with a 7-game lead over the Twins, who all of a sudden have gotten hot, so the Tribe needs to take care of some business. Also of note this weekend, of course, Jim Thome, Indians all-time home run leader, will be enshrined in the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll talk to Big Jim at 8:20 this morning. Now, gearing up for the stretch drive, the Yankees went out and acquired pitcher J.A. Happ from Toronto. Then got some bad news, though, when slugger Aaron Judge hit by a pitch last night, actually suffered a chip fracture in his hand, and he's going to be out for 3 weeks. Also making a move yesterday, the Cubs, as they acquire Cole Hamels from the Rangers for several prospects, and the trade deadline is coming up next week. Indians believed to be looking for a right-handed bat, and particularly an outfielder. We'll see if they pull the trigger on a deal between now and then. Coming up at 5:45, LeBron James has a regret. We'll tell you what that's all about coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report, and it's brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Well, Hugh Jackson has made it very clear that Tyrod Taylor is the Browns' starting quarterback, but top pick Baker Mayfield doesn't really consider himself to be a backup.
I would never get my mind right to be a backup. that's the second that I would be complacent. That's the second that I would stop working. You always got to keep working like you're going to work to be the best.
And Baker and the rest of the Browns will be on the field this afternoon at 3. Their first practice in full pads will come tomorrow. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
All right, a couple stories with our Bill Zimfer this morning and Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. A little preview, and we'll talk about some trade and tariff talk. Hey, Bill, good morning. Let's start first with the reuniting of families and the border story. Where's that at this morning?
Well, we had another deadline passed last night, Bill. The government was under a deadline to reunite families with children over the age of 5. Of course, earlier this month on July 10th, the government missed a deadline to reunite children under 5 years of age with their parents. And we had another deadline passed last night for the older kids. And again, this deadline has passed without everybody being reunited. Here's where we stand right now. The government says that 1,442 families have been reunited with their children when they were separated at the border. However, over 700 children remain in government custody. And the truth is now, advocates say, that many of those, a good number of them, have a chance of never being reunited with their parents because maybe they have been deported back to their home countries. Maybe they can't be located. Maybe they are illiterate and can't correspond. So there are a number of reasons for this, but the fact remains, and it is a sad fact, that some of these, a good number, could be in the hundreds, may never be reunited with their parents.
You know, you're right. On an individual basis, there are situations with all of them, whether it comes to language or you've got, you know, legality issues that are being questioned. It's going to be hard to put all back together.
It sure is. And this is why the administration is again coming under criticism, that none of this was thought through when they started separating families at the border.
Right.
So there was no process in place and no way to, again, go about the reunification of these families in a practical manner.
Judge looking at it again. All right, Bill Zimfer, thank you. Have a good weekend, too.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Speaking of the weekend, Fox News Sunday morning, Chris Wallace in with a preview. Before we talk about the coming show, I want to talk about the last time I saw you. And that was with Putin. That was impressive. Can you rank that in all the experiences you've had when it comes to journalism?
Well, thank you. That was a big deal to sit down with the leader of Russia and ask him some questions that nobody's asked him before and confront him with the indictment of 12 Russian military intelligence officers. Nothing is ever going to compare to moderating the third presidential debate between Trump and Clinton, but this is right up there.
The room after the interview with Putin, I mean, did he shake hands? Everything fine?
Yeah, he was actually very professional. During the interview, you could tell he was a little perturbed at the questions and really didn't like the fact that I interrupted him, which I don't like to do, but when the guy filibusters, you kind of have to, because we have limited time.
Sure.
But afterwards, he was very professional, and he's been in the job. He's been the leader of Russia for 18 years, so this isn't my first rodeo. It wasn't his first rodeo either.
Good stuff, Chris Wallace. For another minute, let's talk about our deal maker, President Trump. Tariffs, trade, farmers concerned. Although he got the EU a meeting this week, he loves the big stage like this, right?
Well, he does love the big stage. I think in terms of what happened with the EU, I think we should be optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. All they did is agree to sit down and talk. They haven't agreed to remove any tariffs, and in fact, the ones that were already in place, for instance, on aluminum and steel on our part, and their retaliatory tariffs are going to remain in place. We've been in this situation before with China, where we said, oh boy, the trade war is on hold, we're going to have talk, and it all falls apart. So, you know, let's see what happens. It's better to talk about talking than to talk about imposing tariffs, but nothing has been removed yet. So, to the degree that either consumers or producers are concerned about tariffs, it's still an issue.
Interesting week on many fronts, and more could happen between now and Sunday morning when we see Chris on Fox News Sunday on Fox 8 here in Cleveland. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
A lot of talk about Cohen, too. Here's Giuliani.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's just not credible. I would not accept him as a witness.
Cohen says, yeah, Trump Jr. knew, and Trump knew about that meeting with that Russian attorney. Rush Limbaugh's take on all this as it plays out. He follows the news at noon, WTAM 1100.
Well, the week is here, and everybody's so excited, Indians fans all over the world, as Jim Thome will be going into the Baseball Hall of Fame this weekend. We go to our hotline now and welcome Jim. Jim, first off, thank you for your time. It's great to have you with us as the big day or weekend draws near. How you feeling?
I feel great. It's great to be on, and you know, I'm so excited for the city of Cleveland and just everybody. It's been an incredible ride leading up to this, and it's finally here. We're excited. You know, it's the moment is about to happen. We're ecstatic and can't wait for the big day.
You know, I wanted to ask you, what has it been like for you since you got that phone call from the Hall of Fame? We all got to see you receive the call with your family, which was very cool. How has this been for these last 6 months for you? Has it changed your life a whole lot?
It has, and it hasn't, to a degree that I think, you know, you want to kind of keep it simple. But there's been so many great things that have happened and come from this, and the people that have reached out, and you look back, you reflect back to the past, and just the, you know, the text messages, the day I got the call, you know, it was many, many, many text messages that I received, and it took me a solid month to return it. And to get back to everybody, but it feels so good. I said this, Mike. It's when you're blessed and fortunate as the player to go into the Hall of Fame and you get that call, you as the player, you look at it and you go, man, it's so much more even about yourself. It's about your mom and dad. It's about your wife. It's about your kids. You know, all those great coaches I was fortunate in, all those organizations to play under, my managers, all the great managers. So in a way, it's about them too, which is so exciting that we all get to share this together and come together and share that special day that's about to happen.
Wow, well put, Jim, and everyone who knows you, we know that you responded to each and every one of those messages. Wanted to ask you, Jim, when you got that call, when you think back, can you go back now, 1989, what were you doing when you got the call that the Indians had drafted you? Do you remember that exact moment?
I was in Peoria. You know, back then we didn't have cell phones. They, you know, the call came to the house, and, you know, I mean, I never thought that Cleveland was going to be on the radar to draft me. You know, during my college freshman year, you know, there was a scout named Tom Kustin that approached me, and now looking back, you know, that process was so great, how that all unfolded. And yeah, I mean, you know, that's the best part of this, is the looking back on how it all came about. And all those people that touched you, and you may have had a little bit of input and touched their lives as well. So it's that's I think the best part. I've been to Cooperstown since the call like two or three times, and you know, every time I go, I'll be honest, it gets more magical. You know, I was just there a week ago, finalizing everything, and it's gonna be. I will say this: when I see players, when I see coaches, when you see the fans from Ohio that are going to come, it's going to be very, I'll be honest, it's going to be very emotional, and it's going to be, you know, that's the best part of all of this, is that you get to share it with so many people.
Jimmy, you know, the other day, I'll just share this. I was walking my dog, and I had a neighbor come up to me, and she was asking me, they're planning their family. They're going to be there. It's just an example of that. And that's the way this does reach people, as you said it. And there's a ripple effect that maybe you can't even be aware of, but there's an example of that. I wanted to ask you, we've talked about you over the years now, where you've kind of reminisced with your when the statue was unveiled and all of that with the Indians.
Yeah.
But I thought one of the cool stories I read after you were officially joined the Hall of Fame was a story that Michael Kadire relayed when you were actually with the Twins in a game here in Cleveland. And I just wanted to ask you where he revealed it that, you know, you guys were getting ready to bat, and you just kind of stepped up behind him and said, do you think this is what Gehrig and Ruth felt like on a Sunday in Cleveland? Well, then he walked, you later homered. But I wanted to ask you, what kind of, do you remember what went through your mind that day? I thought it was kind of a cool thought.
You know, Cuddy and I used to talk about the history of the game, okay? And he would always throw things at me. And I, you know, being a veteran guy, I walked on deck, and I, the story is correct. I think I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, man, Cuddy, I wonder if this is what Ruth and Gehrig felt like. Because the whole history of the game at that point in my career, you know, I was getting kind of towards the end. And, you know, I just think the best part is reflecting back again on those. That's the best part of Cooperstown, is the history, the old players. And I wonder, like, back in the day, what did Ruth and Gehrig feel like when they were in Cleveland? And ironically, I hit a home run, and I crossed home plate, and Cuddy goes, that's what they felt like. And it was just, it was a cool moment between him and I, as I've been blessed to have with so many other great teammates. You know, like, those are the little the inside bits that the fans want to hear. So I'm glad that story came out, because it meant a lot. It meant a lot, I know, to him and all of us. I mean, think when I walked down the hall and they showed me where my plaque was going to go, and I looked over, and it was one of the most emotional things ever.
Wow.
And I looked up, and there was Ruth's plaque. It literally, I couldn't control myself. It was like, here's this kid that grew up in the Midwest out of, you know, central in the heartland, and got a chance to go and be, you know, be blessed to go into the hall. And there's Babe Ruth's name. It's just so special.
And you're in the same place there with him. And also a little side note to that story. I know you left Cuddy a bat there when you signed it.
Yeah.
You knew what it was like to feel like Ruth and Gehrig. And that's you, Jim, just that extra touch. Jim, finally, before we let you go, the speech part, have you been working on that? How's that going for you?
It's all done. It's been done since, well, I had it done in June, and then I've tweaked it. I've added. You know, it's a special thing, and it's to me, I've tried to, as a player, when I played, tried to do the same thing, put a lot of preparation into it, and be thoughtful and really reflect back to all the great cities I was fortunate to play in and be blessed to be a part of, all the great people. So it's come along. Everything's been great. I feel very good about it. It's just now, you know, now it's time to get it done and go deliver it, you know, and have fun. And the one thing I remember in 95, when we went to the World Series, and you look up, and you go, gosh, that went by pretty quick. And Atlanta beat us. So those, and then in 97, we went to the World Series. And again, it goes by so quick. This moment, you know, learning from those moments, I want to truly, and I know it's that weekend's going to go by so fast, but I truly want to enjoy it with the people and the fans, and just enjoy that 2-3 days and embrace it, because it's not every day, you know, you get the honor and blessed to go into the hall. It's just so special.
Jimmy, congratulations. Absorb it all. I hope you can process all of that. Sounds like you've got it all together. We're all eager to see the big weekend get here and hear you on that day as well. Congratulations, and thank you so much for joining us this week.
Oh, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you soon. I know we're coming there in August.
Right.
Look forward to seeing everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Good morning, Bill. Here's what's going on. Admire hundreds of vets at Corvettes of Corsa and Berea Sunday. Proceeds from the event benefit Guidestone, which provides solutions for children, families, and communities across Ohio. Pack a picnic basket and head to Rockefeller Park for opera on the Italian Cultural Garden Sunday night at 6. It's going to be a totally awesome time at Mapleside Farms tonight with the Spasmatics, wine, beer, and barbecue. See over 40 larger-than-life, colorful custom lantern displays at the Asian Lantern Festival at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. Get a taste of Asian culture with authentic food, live performances, a market, and hang out with the zoo animals after hours. Join the Cleveland Museum of Natural History for birds, beasts, brats, and beer tonight, where you'll learn about the importance of animal enrichment and hang out with the bobcats, owls, and eagles at the Perkins Wildlife Center. Shark Week invades around the corner. The Shark Corner pop-up bar will have fantastic deals like $3 land sharks, shark bait shots, and catch jawsome shark action on their TVs. And the Greater Cleveland Aquarium brings you FinFest through Sunday with trivia, games, and you can watch them feed the sand tigers. Main Street Kent brings you the Wizardly World of Kent tomorrow. There will be costume contests, potion classes, scavenger hunt, magic, and more. If you're looking for an excuse to consume beer this weekend, join Scene Magazine for Ale Fest tomorrow from noon to 5:30 at Lincoln Park. And finally, see more Pez than you've ever imagined at the world's largest gathering of Pez collectors at Pezomania 28 at the Holiday Inn Rockside Road. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. I'm Cheryl Z, and that's your staycation update on News Radio, WTAM 1100.
It's movie time. Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com checks in, and it's big blockbuster summertime, Mission Impossible Fallout. Tom Cruise, tell me about it.
Well, this is the sixth in the franchise series, and usually when you get to about four of any series, they really start to circle the drain. But this one is, the sixth in the series is just as good as the last two that they've had. Actually, this is one of those rare series that has gotten better once time went on, which is kind of rare to see happen. The story follows Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt with his friends trying to track down some plutonium they lost, so it ended up on the black market. And yeah, that does sound like a Austin Powers joke as a movie, but
right.
They just use it as a leaping off point. It's essentially them trying to track down this plutonium, and you know, you have international locations and great action set pieces. Reminds me a lot of what James Bond movies have become.
Interesting you mentioned Bond. I've also heard a lot about the stunts and the bigness, if you will, of this. I mean, Cruise even broke his ankle shooting this thing.
He did, yeah. You know, it's that's something that's kind of been a big deal of the last couple movies for him, especially this, is that he does these stunts. And that's not to say they don't use a certain degree of digital manipulation and extra planning, but, you know, when he's, you see him dangling from a helicopter, that's him dangling from a helicopter. They may have, been able to hide some of the wires and safety nets. But, I mean, this is a neat idea to have that big production set piece, and I think it's going to pay off well for this.
Rebecca Ferguson, Sean Harris, all in this. Michelle Monaghan as well, right?
Yep. They are the ones who are starring, rolling out the starring roles of that movie.
And Henry Cavill this weekend, too, in Mission Impossible Fallout. Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com with me. Tell me about Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Well, this is an animated film about the Cartoon Network series. It skews very young, so keep in mind that it's for a younger audience, not even like sort of like that middling teens crowd that you normally get for cartoons. But, you know, the Teen Titans is a group of superheroes run by Robin, and they're sort of like a mini Justice League. And it's the characters from this series who they've brought them into basically wanting them to get their own movie, sort of like how Batman series and Superman series. So in the films themselves, they're watching themselves be made into movies. This was a whimsical kind of kids movie. It skews even younger than I would have, appreciate the most. And that's not no fault of the movies. That's just knowing who's a fan of the Teen Titans. But it is kind of cool that the kids, there's so many jokes that the kids can get. And you can make in terms of making the superhero film.
All right, that's what that one is. Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and the biggie, of course, Mission Impossible Fallout this weekend with Tom Cruise. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Check his site out for you. Get out and check out a movie or rent something this weekend. Good stuff. Kevin, thanks much.
Thank you.
Five, it's total Tomy coverage this morning. James Howard Tomy, born August 1970, Peoria, Illinois. He goes into Cooperstown this weekend. There's been a few things happen between then and now. Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio in Cooperstown has seen and talked about a lot of it. Hi, Bobby D.
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Paint the picture. Talk about the weekend. What is he going to experience really as a host and being hosted, I guess, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I think there will be nothing but smiles for an entire weekend. It's one of those remarkable weekends in baseball where you don't have to worry about wins and losses. You just worry about celebrating a special athlete. And obviously, we all got to know Jim Thome very well, as he's one of our homegrown guys. And, you know, it's just remarkable. I think back to the days on the buses when we rode around the state of Ohio for the old-fashioned press caravans, and you really got to know a 20-year-old kid, and just to see him now as a first-ballot Hall of Famer, he's still the same guy. He's a genuine, humble, remarkable man, and it really is going to be something special. Tonight there is an event that Jane Clark plays host to. She is the chairman of the National Baseball Hall of Fame, and it's a very exclusive event for just all of the Hall of Famers, owners, and for some reason, a few PR people get to sneak into that event, so that's going to be real fun. Saturday will be a double-day field to see Sheldon Oker of the Tucker Beacon Journal and Bob Costas get their awards. Then there's a big cocktail party inside the Hall of Fame after a parade. And then on Sunday is the induction ceremony. We will be throwing Jim Thome a party tomorrow night, which we cannot wait. There's a VIP group coming, a number of the other teams, Twins and Phillies executives like John Hart, Dan O'Dowd, those guys, you know, a number of former players that Jimmy wanted and teammates Jimmy wanted to be on hand. So it's just going to be a whirlwind weekend and nothing but smiles.
Yeah, I tell you, Bob, it is something, you know, you just think of all the people, and I know that's one of the things that Jimmy's talked about, that's what it means so much to him, all the people that were involved in getting him to this position, and what a club. I know among the Hall of Famers are going to be on hand, from Hank Aaron to Johnny Bench to Juan Marichal, Sandy Koufax, just to see all these people gathered together at the same time, it's just got to be a remarkable vision for you.
It is. You know, all the little baseball cards come to life. When you were growing up, collecting baseball cards, and here they are standing around next to you having conversations, and you sit, you do a teeny bit more work to just remember the guys. And so you look at a Rod Carew, who I've got to know, remember Michael, when we brought him in to teach Kenny Lofton how to bunt and slap the ball, and so he spent a spring training with us. Got to know him well, and he'd been battling a few things, so I'm hoping he will be here. He hit 377 for the entire decade of the 70s. That was his. I mean, those
the decade.
Guys, yeah, the whole decade he hit 377. So those are the kind of guys you're going to rub elbows with and have them tell some stories to you. And just cannot wait. And at center stage is our guy,
yep.
One of our homegrown Cleveland Indians players. And only seven guys in the history of baseball hit more home runs than Jim Thome. But, again, one of the most humble, genuine men that you would ever want to have cross your path.
89.8% of the vote, takes 75% to get in first time, and Jim Thome, a member of the Hall of Fame this weekend at Cooperstown. Jim Thome will join us at 8:20 this morning, talk more about his time in Cleveland and what it means to go into Cooperstown. Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio, fun follow on Twitter this weekend. Looking him up, I'm sure you'll be posting a few selfies and reporting from Cooperstown. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Go Drive. TAM 1100, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Cleveland.com with us, who will also is on library tour, North Ridgeville, Tuesday, 6:30. Hi, Terry.
Hello, guys.
All right, every Friday we get a chance to talk and kind of pick up a few pieces. Oh, by the way, Kevin Love was signed, too, this week. As you posted a story talking to some people around the league, smart move, even if it was $145 million, right?
That's generally what they say because of, for two main reasons. Number one, the salary cap's going way up next summer, they told me. And secondly, that contract, it actually kind of flattens out and goes down a bit. You know, we all should have contracts like that that flatten out and go down a bit and into $28 million. But that makes him act more attractive in a trade in a couple of years, assuming he stays relatively healthy.
And I think, Terry, the one thing here for, like, a rookie Colin Sexton, it's got to help him to have a guy like Kevin. Yeah, I was out at the Browns practice yesterday. When you think of the last 2 years where they really had very few veterans to help the kids, you need veterans on the floor. The coaches just can't do it all in terms of instructing young players.
And it's also not like the NFL where if you do, quote-unquote, tank and pile up the draft picks, you get a whole bunch of players. The NBA, you go from two picks to three or four, it's not that much of an influx of talent. And so I think that, you know, if you go back and think about the rebuild the last time where they piled up a lot of picks or whatever, it only worked because they got LeBron James back. Then they were able to use those picks to supplement players around James. But if they didn't get James, they were in huge trouble.
Terry, this weekend, Jim Thome enters the Baseball Hall of Fame. You've written about Jim. You've talked with him over the years. Your thoughts about Jim going into this weekend?
Yeah, I have a huge story. We have a big section on Thome coming out on Sunday. And it's remarkable. He was the 333rd pick in the draft. Only one scout, a guy named Tom Kustin, liked him. As far as I was able to ascertain, Mike, nobody even had Jim on their scouting list anywhere else. He was a shortstop for a junior college outside of Peoria. It's a remarkable thing. How about this? His first year in the minors, he didn't even hit a home run.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What a story is, you know, and we talked with Charlie Manuel about what, you know, the work that he put into it. It really is one of the great stories, Jim Thome, of achieving this in the career that he had.
He had to learn to play third base. He had to learn to play first base. He had to learn to hit for power. Nothing really came easy for him at all. And, you know, one of the things, Jimmy has a quiet relentlessness about him. You know, just he was willing to do the same stuff over and over and over again, whether it was change his swing. I mean, actually, he's like one of the godfathers of the launch angle. They didn't call it back then.
Great
but
point.
That really was what it was. He learned how to go, you know, hit the bullet and lift it in the air. And along with, you know, changing positions. And he played a number of seasons towards the end of his career with a really painful back, too.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. We'll look for the piece Sunday on Thome. Thanks, partner.
Take care, guys.
I'm out right now, so nobody's going to overhear us. I keep hearing and seeing names. Billy Hamilton, Adam Jones, Garanderson. What are you thinking? What are you hearing?
Well, I think there is probably something to the smoke that you hear. I know the Adam Jones thing has been there for a while, and I know they've had conversations with Baltimore, going back all the way to the Manny Machado situation before he was traded. So I think there's something to the things you've heard, some of the names you've heard. And with the outfield situation, they probably would like him to get somebody that could play next year as well. I'm not saying that's, you know, going to happen, but right now, if you look at it, there's not an outfielder that can play. Just the way everything is set up, there's not a guy that could start in the outfield next year that could help them on the roster currently, and I know they'd like to change that.
Well, we will see how it plays out, and even if they don't get a deal actually by the trade deadline next week, Andre, they can still make a move even after that, can't they?
Oh, yeah, you can see that. You know, the Jay Bruce move, I believe, was after the trade deadline. A couple of years ago, I think the Coco Crisp situation was after the trade deadline. So, absolutely, we can talk about the trade, you know, deadline coming up. But there's still time after that when we've seen them do that over the last 2 years.
Andre, sometimes in baseball, and I think that is you've been living it now for a number of years, things can be so wrong one day and so right the next. I had that feeling everything was right in the ball game the other day, in the day game win with Trevor Bauer, and the way the bullpen worked and the runs they scored against the Pirates. It was just a perfect day, wasn't it?
It really was, especially after you saw the first two games of the Pirates and how well they hit. To see Bauer shut that lineup down and then for them to get a lead and to be able to, as you said, to go do things the way they want to, you know, to be able to use your bullpen exactly how you want. I think that was a good game to go into a bye with and to go into an off day with and to try to get a rhythm on the road. I believe they're one or two wins away from being 500 on the road And I know that's something as a team they want to be. So that's something that they're going to try to achieve over this weekend.
Dre, I was thinking to myself, Jim Thome, of course, going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. And I was going back reflecting when I really was, you know, in the locker room or the clubhouse quite regularly in his playing days. And that's like 20, you know, years ago, back in the 90s. And I'm just thinking of you right now covering this team. You are covering some players, and we know who they are, whether it's Lindor, Ramirez, Kluber. You're covering some guys that definitely have a real shot at someday being at Cooperstown. It's kind of a cool thing, but they're in this moment. But as you experience these young guys, it's something special right now when you get to be around players like this, isn't it?
It really is. And as you say that, I think to myself that you don't even have to say the names. And I know it's cliche to say this, but it's the God honest truth. The guys that you see that have a chance to go do what Jim Thome's doing this weekend are probably three of the hardest working guys you see on the team. And, you know, whether it's when we're watching or whether it's when everyone is watching, their work ethic is incredible to go along with the ability that God gave them. And that's why they're the type of players that they are. And it's amazing to watch.
Andre not with us. How about Yonder Alonso right now? Pretty hot, right?
Yeah, he's finally kind of getting into a rhythm. You know, seeing him hit that home run off a lefty the other day, you hope that he can just ride that out and get a hot streak and you know, ride it out for a week or two and really get going. I know that you're not weighing on it, but it'd be nice to see.
All right, now, people moving around this weekend. Maddie's going up to Cooperstown, Matt Underwood?
Yes, sir. He's going to Cooperstown. He's going to New York. He should be there already.
You?
I will be doing the pregame show with Jensen, but then I'll be doing my regular duties. And I will be filling in for Matt over the weekend as well.
That should pay more for you. Anybody mention that? I told you, what have I always told you? Ask up front.
Yep.
Because afterwards you don't get it.
No, because if you ask too late, they forget about that. So, yes, there's a little extra coming in the check in the next few weeks.
All right, just checking. She doesn't know it, though, right?
I love how you think.
Better half doesn't know it, though, so we won't say
it. Not yet.
I got it. All right. All right, so you and Jensen, Fox Sports, Sports Time, Ohio, on the pregame shows. We got Carlos Carrasco on the mound tonight here. Gagliotto.com, Tribe Insider at 6 here, and first pitch 7:10 from Detroit. Andre Knott. Pal, thanks much. Have fun this weekend, too, okay?
You got it. You guys have a great weekend as well. Take care.
See you, buddy. Andre Knott, his take from the Doug Podcast page. You can check it out and listen when you want. WillsandSteiner.com. Just do a search on the iHeartRadio app for the podcast. More on the Tribes weekend in Detroit. Jensen Lewis with us for Falls Motor City. Morning, pal.
Hey, morning, boys.
Carrasco on the mound. You know, we made the point this morning with Andre Knott, who will join you on the pregame shows this weekend, and you're experiencing the same. There's some names in that clubhouse. One of these days we could be talking about going to Cooperstown, right?
Yeah, certainly could. And, you know, knowing in this rotation, we'll just start right there. I mean, the obvious one is indeed Corey Kluber, at least from a Cleveland Indians perspective. You would assume that he will end up as one of the top three right-handed pitchers to pitch in Indians franchise history with the numbers that he's putting together right now. But you look at Carlos Carrasco and a guy that the Indians are anticipating is going to have a pretty significant August and September for this team to really gain some momentum moving into the postseason. I know people were talking about, well, you know, what would he look like coming out of the bullpen? I would rather guard against that and just say, you know what, if he's a guy that is himself and we know that has the capability in the past of showing that, then boy, do you really have a vaunted 1-2-3 the way Trevor Bauer is going to go ahead and take your chances in the division series against whoever you face.
Bauer is really special now, isn't he, Jensen, the way he's going about his business?
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, a guy that is really coming into his own. He's starting to show a little more personality in his press conferences. And I think there's a comfort level now that he's kind of got a partner there and a friend in Mike Clevinger. They are kind of the odd couple, and I know they probably hate hearing that, but that's fine. That's what they are. You got the free spirit in Clev. You've got the scientist himself, Trevor Bauer. So the opposites certainly attract. And I think they've really fed off of each other. They've tried to help and make each other better in their own kind of stepbrotherish way. That's an analogy you can use, but really a rotation that you can match up against any potential playoff team, and I think that's why the Indians have a lot of confidence moving into October.
Jensen, so much of the focus this weekend, of course, is the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown with Jim Thome going in, quite a class that he's part of this year. I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but when you were growing up, as I look at some of the names of the Hall of Famers who are going to be there, Hank Aaron and Johnny Bench, names like Sandy Koufax, who was the pitcher that you wanted to be like the most when you were growing up?
Yeah, the guy that I watched the most Snides was Greg Maddux, and I didn't gain velocity really until my junior and senior year in high school. I was kind of 84 to 88 in high school. I had to manipulate the ball a little bit, and I was always just marveling at how Greg Maddux could make the ball move the way that he could, and he didn't throw hard. And that was kind of before this old age of high velocity, launch angle, all those kinds of things, and it really went back to, you know, being able to locate your fastball, being able to throw your changeup and really keeping guys off balance, being able to pitch, literally pitch, instead of just kind of throwing it all up there. So, you know, what's fun is seeing that, you know, Jim Thome, a guy that I tried to emulate as far as my swing goes, I have far less home runs, plenty more swing and misses. But, you know, he and Omar Vizquel, they were my two favorite Indians to emulate growing up. And it sounds like Omar will be shortly behind Jim Thome to head into Cooperstown.
Your golf game might be better than Maddux, though, I'll tell you that.
the launch angle.
Yeah. Carrasco, Clevinger, Kluber this weekend. Andre not with us earlier. I told him, don't hog the show. Make sure you still get your fair share on Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio.
Yeah, we should be good. It should be a lot of fun.
All right, Matt Underwood will be in Cooperstown for the weekend. Thanks, pal.
You got it, boys. Have a great weekend.
Be good.